This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, the weekend edition of Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
Hello and welcome to a special Thanksgiving weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm your host, David Salkeld, a constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. This weekend, we're looking back at now President-elect Donald Trump's speech at this year's Values Voter Summit in September. At that event, the then Republican nominee laid out his White House plans on many issues important to Values voters. His message clearly connected with Values voters. His exit polling revealed 81%, a record, of white evangelicals voted for Donald Trump. Clearly, the themes of this speech should be policy initiatives that we see pushed by the Trump White House. Let's listen in.
One of the greatest privileges of my journey has been the time I've spent with the evangelical community, and the support they gave me in those primaries was absolutely incredible, I have to tell you. All across the nation, a lot of people said, I wonder if Donald will get the evangelicals. I got the evangelicals. I'm going to make it up to you, too. You watch. There are no more decent, devoted, or selfless people than our Christian brothers and sisters here in the United States. True, so true. I've witnessed that incredible generosity all across this land, gotten to know so many people. I saw it during my trip to Louisiana, where Christian volunteers raced to help their fellow citizens in need. Franklin Graham is an example. He brought the most incredible people and equipment to Louisiana. And he didn't want anything for it. He's a great man. It's that spirit of giving that we will need to rebuild Louisiana and to rebuild this country, which is in serious, serious trouble. Yet our media culture often mocks and demeans people of faith, and you understand that. All the time I hear from concerned parents how much harder it is for a Christian family to raise their children in today's media environment. It is right, isn't it? Huh? It is right. Not even close. Your values of love, charity, and faith built this nation. So how can it be that our media treats people of faith so poorly? One of the reasons is that our politicians have really abandoned you to a large extent. And Hillary Clinton, you can forget about her. So let me state this right up front. A Trump administration, our Christian heritage, will be cherished, protected, defended, like you've never seen before. Believe me. I believe it, and you believe it, and you know it. You know it. And that includes religious liberty. Remember. Remember. I recently had a chance to visit a church in Detroit, Great Faith Ministries International. Stand up if you're a member. That's good. That was an amazing experience. And the bishop, what a great guy. In my remarks, I spoke about how African-American church, and this is all across the country, for centuries have been the conscience of our nation. Their unbreakable faith and spirit overcame some of the most difficult periods in our history, leading us all to a better future. Very true. Amazing. This was such an amazing experience. This is the power of faith. It's the power to heal. It's the power to unite. It's the power to make all of us live better lives, all of us. Our nation today is divided. Nobody likes to say it, but we're living in a very, very divided nation. It will be our faith in God, in His teachings, in each other, that will lead us back to unity. Each of us here today has a role to play in bringing our country together, united in common purpose and in common values. So let's talk today about some of the things, and these are great things, that we can do together to create the American future for everybody, not just a certain group of people, but for everybody. The first thing we have to do is give our churches their voice back. It's been taken away. The Johnson Amendment has blocked our pastors and ministers and others from speaking their minds from their own pulpits. If they want to talk about Christianity, if they want to preach, if they want to talk about politics, they're unable to do so. If they want to do it, they take a tremendous risk that they lose their tax-exempt status. All religious leaders should be able to freely express their thoughts and feelings on religious matters. And I will repeal the Johnson Amendment if I am elected your president. I promise. So important. Thank you. That's so important. And I must tell you from the heart, this started a building of mine in Manhattan. I had 50 pastors in a big conference room. And we actually had 50 pastors, two rabbis, a couple of priests. We were all talking. And we were there for 2 hours. And at the end, it was a love fest. We all agreed. It was like a love fest. And I said to them, we were high up in a building on Fifth Avenue. And I said to them, I'd love your support. And I know when I can get support. I'm quite sophisticated. And I know they wanted to give me their total support, 100%, just like I had in the primaries. And I said, I really would like your support. And they didn't really know what I was talking about. And I said, what's going on here? They said, well, sir, we can't do that because we would be violating the laws. And I said, what's the punishment? Well, we could lose our tax-exempt status, which, of course, is a, you know, massive penalty. I said, tell me about this. And we sat down, they talked about it. When did it happen? 1954 or so. Lyndon Johnson was having problems. Powerful guy. I actually, in his own way, you have to gain respect for what he was able to do. Can you imagine that this man single-handedly, he was having problems with churches. And there was a church in Houston that was giving him a hard time, maybe for very good reason. And he put in an amendment that basically stopped our great pastors and ministers and others from talking under the penalty of losing their tax-exempt status. So we were looking down onto the sidewalk, and there were people walking on the sidewalk. And I said, so, folks, what you're telling me is those people walking way, way down there on the sidewalk have really more power than you do because they're allowed to express their feelings and thoughts openly and without penalty. And one of the pastors who I knew very well, and these are powerful people, these are strong people with magnificent voices and just, and magnificent hearts, much more importantly. They looked at me and they said, that's actually right. They have more power than we do. We're not allowed to express. And we're going to get rid of that law. We're going to get rid of it so fast. And I'm so proud to say, honestly, I don't want to take credit, but you had 50 people in that first meeting and many more in the second. I am so proud. I was just telling this to Tony, to say That was my idea. I figure it's the only way I'm getting to heaven, so this is going to be very good. The only way. So we're going to get rid of it, and we're going to let your great people speak, and you're going to see something happen that's going to be very, very good. Okay? So important. I hope, which means you have to get out and vote on November 8th. You cannot. You didn't vote 4 years ago. You didn't vote. You didn't. Well, you did. Few of you did. Believe me, I know. I look at the stats. You didn't vote. But this time you really have. And this is your last chance. This is it. I mean, we'll never have this opportunity again. So I hope you can get every one of your friends and just get up, your family and your friends, and get out and vote. Okay? November 8th. Thank you. And if you do, we're going to win by a lot. That's not going to even be a close election. And if you don't, could be a very unhappy November 8th.
You're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch Weekly. I'm David Salkeld, and we're glad to have you joining us today. We're taking a look back at now President-elect Donald Trump's speech at the Values Voter Summit this past September. We're going to listen to the rest of it on the other side of the break. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of the weekend edition of Washington Watch right after this.
Tony Perkins here, inviting you to join my wife, LaJuana, and me on an exciting adventure. Next July 29th, we'll board Holland America's luxurious MS Yuridam for a 7-day cruise to Alaska. You'll fellowship and worship with other believers in the midst of some of the most breathtaking beauty in all of God's creation. For more information or to book your Alaskan adventure, call 844-872-5155 or go to TonyPerkins.com. Again, that is 844-872-5155 or TonyPerkins.com.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. If you're just joining us, we're listening to now President-elect Donald Trump's speech at this year's Values Voters Summit. Let's get right back to where we left off.
One of the biggest issues in this race is going to be the issue of school choice. And I can't possibly emphasize this enough. Millions of poor and disadvantaged students are trapped in failing schools. This education crisis afflicts all communities, but none more so than the African American community. None. The Democratic Party has run the inner cities of America for 50, 60, 70 years, some cases over 100 years. Over 100 years. Their policies and their politics, and in particular, the politics of people like Hillary Clinton, have produced only poverty, joblessness, and rising crime. When she was running for the Senate in New York State, she said she was going to produce jobs, jobs, jobs. In upstate New York, it's a disaster. She's going to produce jobs. Big thing. Jobs. We're going to bring back jobs. It's been a catastrophe. We've lost tens of thousands of jobs. She never did a thing. It was all talk, no action, just like what she's doing right now is all talk, no action. She'll talk and talk, and nothing will happen. Only bad will happen. But you just have to ask the people in upstate New York. She won because of them, and she produced absolutely nothing. Jobs left. It's today one of the most depressing places in this country. So just remember that when you hear her talking about jobs. I know jobs. She doesn't know jobs. That I can tell you. I have outlined a new civil rights agenda for our time. The right to a safe community, a great education, and a secure job. And I say to African-American parents, I say to Hispanic-American parents, and I say it with great respect, our inner cities are a disaster. Crime, no jobs, education is the worst, in many cases, almost worldwide bad. And in many cases, actually worldwide bad. I say, with great respect, what do you have to lose? It can't get any worse. It can't get any worse. You choose Donald Trump, I'm going to fix the problem. You're going to have safety. You're going to have good education. We're going to get jobs because we're going to bring our jobs back. Mexico's taking our jobs. So many other places, they're taking our jobs. What China's doing to us is horrible. We're going to have jobs. What do you have to lose? I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix it. School choice is at the center of the civil rights agenda. And my goal is to provide every single inner city child in America that is trapped in a failing government school the freedom to attend the school of their choice. Competition. The schools will get better and better and better. And that means a private school, a religious school, a charter school, or a magnet school. School choice also means that parents can homeschool their children. 100%. Hillary Clinton opposes school choice because she is controlled totally, totally, like a puppet, by special interests. Her policies will force millions of African-American and Hispanic children to remain stuck in failed government schools, leading to higher unemployment and more poverty. The poverty levels in this country, nobody will believe. Nobody will believe. My plan will break the government monopoly and make schools compete to provide the best services for our children, including every African-American and Hispanic child in this country, every single one of them. This proposal begins with a $20 billion block grant from the federal government for states to pursue school choice programs. However, that's good, right? However, because 90% of education spending is at the state level, I will campaign to get the states to reallocate another $110 billion of their education budgets to school choice programs. If we do this, that would mean $12,000 in school choice funds for every disadvantaged student in America. What a difference this is going to make. But only if I do it. They can't do it. The Democrats, they have, what they've done is incredible. And Hillary Clinton will be absolutely more of the same, rigid. It'll never change. Remember, 100 years, 70 years, 50, it's not going to change. Not going to happen. Now, let's talk about another issue that will define the future of this country for generations to come. The United States Supreme Court. Earlier this year, we lost the great Justice Antonin Scalia. The next president will not only have to fill this seat, but as many as four others. It could even be, I mean, we could end up with a total of five judges. And you pick the wrong people, you have a country that is no longer your country. It will be a disaster. One of the most important issues, frankly, other than maybe defense, because we're going to build up our military, it's so depleted. We're going to take care of our vets. We're going to protect your Second Amendment. So many things. But one of the most important, some people think it's actually the most important, is the filling of the seats, United States Supreme Court. You see what's happening right now. Essentially, it's 4-4. And you see how bad it is. We're going to pick great judges. I've already put a list of 11. Federalist Society, highly recommended. Got uniform great reviews on these 11 people. And we are going to put truly great people. Maybe we use Judge Scalia as the ultimate example of what we're looking for, okay? This will determine whether or not we remain a constitutional republic, frankly. That's what's going to happen. I have pledged to appoint judges who will uphold the Constitution to protect your religious liberty and apply the law as written. We reject judges who rewrite the Constitution to impose their own personal views on 300 million plus Americans. Not going to have that. I've made public a list of judges, as I said, that will guide my selection process. Hillary Clinton has refused to provide such a list, and we brought it up. Let's see your list. You ever saw the list? You would walk out of here not feeling very well. Because she knows the extremist judges she would pick would be rejected by the overwhelming majority of the American public. They'd be rejected. Clinton's judicial picks would allow her to completely take over American healthcare, the American economy, and Americans' religious liberty, not to mention your Second Amendment, which is on very thin ice right now, as you know, because of the fact that we're at 4-4. If they even pick one judge who's wrong, you can probably, as you know it, you can kiss the Second Amendment goodbye. And we don't want to see that.
You're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch Weekly. I'm David Salkeld, and I'm glad you're with us today. Let me encourage you to visit the website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with us, at T. Perkins. Don't go away. We'll be back with the rest of Donald Trump's speech from the Values Voter Summit right after this break.
Tony Perkins here, inviting you to join my wife, LaJuana, and me on an exciting adventure. Next July 29th, we'll board Holland America's luxurious MS Yuridam for a 7-day cruise to Alaska. You'll fellowship and worship with other believers in the midst of some of the most breathtaking beauty in all of God's creation. For more information or to book your Alaskan adventure, call 844-872-5155 or go to tonyperkins.com. Again, that is 844-872-5155 or tonyperkins.com.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. You've been listening to now President-elect Donald Trump's speech from the Values Voter Summit earlier this year in September. He addressed many of the values important to you, our listeners, so let's listen in to the conclusion of his speech.
Crucially, I will also fight for the American family and American family values. The family must be at the center of any anti-poverty agenda. Has to be. Thank you. Our country just lost one of the great champions for the American family, Phyllis Schlafly. Great woman, really great woman. We send our thoughts and prayers to her loved ones. I will be going to her funeral tomorrow in St. Louis. Phyllis fought very hard to the very end for a free and prosperous America. She understood that to be truly united as a country, we can't simply turn to government or to politicians. The bedrock of our unity is the realization that we are all brothers and sisters created by the same God. Phyllis understood that. Phyllis understood that. And by the way, Phyllis endorsed me a long time ago when it wasn't necessarily something that was so easy to do. And she was incredible. She was so brave. She endorsed me, and that was not the thing to do at the time. People said, Trump. She said, he's going to win. You don't understand. He knows how to win. He's going to win. They said, Phyllis, not going to be Trump. And we went boom, boom, boom. But I will tell you, Phyllis endorsed me at a time when it wasn't necessarily the thing to do, even the popular thing to do. And I will never forget that. That had a huge impact. She was a great, great, powerful woman with a tremendous heart. And I look forward to being with her family tomorrow because you really celebrate. That's a celebration. She was 92 years old. We are all equal, and we all come from the same Creator. If we remember that simple fact, then our future is truly limitless. There is nothing we as Americans can't do. There's a biblical verse that I've often read, and I want to repeat it again because I think it is so important to what we're trying to achieve right now for our country. It's from 1 John chapter 4. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. So true. So true. Imagine what our country could accomplish if we started working together as one people under one God, saluting one flag. It's time to stop quibbling over the smallest words and time to start dreaming about the great adventures that lie ahead for our country. This is my promise to all of you. Starting in 2017, we will be one American nation. It's time to break our ties with the bitter failures of the past and to embrace a new American future. Have to do it. Together, we will make America believe again. We will make America united again. And we will make America great again. Thank you very much, and God bless you. Thank you.
If you missed any of this speech by President-elect Donald Trump, you can find a link to it by heading over to tonyperkins.com. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 866-372-7234.